It's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. I want to ask you a question as we begin this morning. Are your beliefs about the origins of all things facts or faith? It's a good question. And some of you may not know quite how to answer that question. Unbelievers mock Christians for their faith in the Bible, because we believe that God created everything. We sang that song this morning, that God created everything. We believe that by faith. And the evolutionists and unbelievers mock that. And yet, evolution requires more faith than creation does. Much more faith. If the devil can get you to lose faith in God as your creator, you will lose faith in God's promises. This is a very critical area of the scriptures. If you lose faith in God's creative ability, you will lose faith in God's promises. And if you don't know Him as Savior, you may lose your eternal destiny because of lack of faith in the Lord as your Savior. And so, Genesis is a very important book of the Bible. Many times we don't realize it, but the book of Genesis covers a vast amount of history of our world. Started out about 6,000 years ago, and Moses came along about 3,500 years ago. He wrote the book of Genesis. I mean, you're talking over 3,000 years. About over half of the history of the world is condensed in the book of Genesis. The first 11 chapters of Genesis are critical because they deal with creation, evolution, refuting of evolution, the flood, the Tower of Babel, the spread of the people around the world, and all of these things are all there in the first few chapters of Genesis. And here in our text this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, this chapter is often known as the Hall of Faith. It's a chapter that we're going to spend some time in and looking at different individuals of the Old Testament of how they had faith in God that strengthened them and met their needs and helped them through life, and even though they didn't receive the promises that God had promised them because they died before the promises were fulfilled. They were looking forward to the coming of Christ. They were looking forward to the millennium. They were looking forward to Christ's redemption. They didn't see any of that because they died way before that even took place. And so as we look at this morning, let's look at verses 1 through 3 this morning. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." The elders here talking about all these men, I believe, in the text, not just men, a few women, in the text to follow. Verse 3, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." You know, God put this verse in here at the beginning of the chapter about faith because I believe it's important for us to understand if we don't have faith that God created everything and that God is the creator of the world, we won't have the faith that we need to live for God and trust God for anything else. Because that is crucial. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that if he can defeat us in that area, that he can defeat us in every area. And when we think about this thought of faith, what is faith? What is faith? Well, the very first verse there actually describes faith more than it defines it. But it says there, faith is a substance. The word substance means the foundation, the bottom, the foundation where it all starts. Faith is a substance, or the foundations of things hoped for, the evidence or the persuasion of things not seen. So it's the foundation that we believe in. That's faith. This faith is the foundation. It's the bottom, of what we believe, the substance, and it is the evidence. It is the persuasion of the things not seen. It's saying, I believe even though I can't see it, because God said it. And so as we define faith, you know, as I said, this verse, sometimes people say, well, this is how you define it. Well, I don't think that really defines it very well, but it does give us a description of faith. But definitions of faith might include this. I got three different definitions. One by John Stormer. He says, faith is the simplest, in its simplest form, is just trusting someone to do what he has promised and acting upon it. pretty good definition of faith. It's trusting someone to do what he has promised and acting upon it. The second definition by Warren Wiersbe, he says, true Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. It's obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. Faith is an action. Faith isn't just something you feel on your gut. Faith is an action. And a simpler maybe or a condensed way of looking at it is faith then is an action based upon a firm belief. I believe this is true and therefore I'm going to act upon that. And we all have faith in a lot of different ways. Every one of you had faith when you came into this building and you saw that thing that looked like a chair and acted like a chair and other people were sitting in it and you sat down in it and never even thought about it. Because you had faith that that chair was going to hold you up. Now, if you had sat in one of those chairs last week and it fell on the floor, you might come in today and look at it and shake it a little bit and feel good, wondering whether it was going to hold you up this time. Because you lost your faith in it last time. But we have faith in a lot of things. And faith is what we need in order to believe that about the origins. Now, this morning I want us to look at three statements about the origins that I trust will increase your faith in God. Number one is this. No human witnessed the origin. Now that is absolutely critical. And as you're talking with people that don't know the Lord and they're debating with you about evolution, you need to point this out. That is absolutely foundational and critical. No one saw it happen. No one. God was the only one there. But assuming that there is no God, like the evolutionists do, there was still no one that saw it happen. It was totally unseen. That is crucial because the origin of all things being unseen by man cannot be scientific fact. It can't be because no one saw it. All right? Now, a definition of scientific fact is this. I got off the web. It says science is in science, a fact is an observation that has been confirmed so many times that scientists can, for all intents and purposes, accept it as true. He said they've confirmed it again and again and again and again and again, so therefore we assume it is true. Scientific fact. Anything that cannot be observed, tested, and demonstrated cannot be scientific fact. It's not science. You can't do that. And that is critical that we understand that. Now, we can observe the results of the origins of all things, but no human ever saw it. We can see the results all around us. You just look out the window and you can see the sunshine. You can see the trees. You can see the grass. You can see hear the birds. You can see all the things that are out there and say, it started sometime. We know that to be true. It hasn't always been here. It started sometime. There had to have been an origin, but no one saw it. No scientific, this is a quote from John C. Wickham in the book The Early Earth. He said, no scientist in the world today was present when the earth came into existence, nor do any of us have the privilege of watching the world being created today. All right? No one saw it happen, and there's nothing like it happening today. There is no creation happening today. And sometimes evolutionists try to say, oh yeah, there's new stars forming, or there's these mutations are changing. No, that's not creation. That is not something out of nothing. That is just something is changing, and we may not always know what is changing, but that is not the same thing. Since the origins of all things was unobservable and unrepeatable, no theory of how it took place should be called scientific fact. It should not be called that because it was only a theory. It's only an idea. Now, man's origin ideas are all theories. Now, I don't like talking about what we as Christians believe as a theory, but in the same sense as what we're talking about, it is a theory because we weren't there. We didn't see it happen. And so I'll talk more about that later. I'm not insinuating that I don't trust what God said, but from a scientific perspective, ours is a theory. And therefore, Without the Bible, the very best that man can do is to imagine how the origin might have taken place. If you throw the Bible out, the only thing you have to go by as to what happened way back sometime is your imagination. There's nothing else to prove. Now, there's evidences of things that have happened, and we can see that. We know that, well, there was definitely trees out there, and there's definitely grass and animals. So we know something happened, but how? All right? And scientists have pondered over this, and people have thought about this for a long time. But it's all based on their ideas. Now, we cannot observe the origins taking place today. There's nothing like it happening today. Evolution is based on faith, and evolution is a religion. Evolutionists don't want to think it that way, but that's the truth. Evolution is a religion. It is not science. It is not science. There's no scientific fact for their theories. The Bible states that God created all that exists. No human watched God do it. And we believe that by faith. And as Christians, we are not hesitant to say, yes, what we believe is by faith. The evolutionists want to say, no, we don't believe by faith. We got scientific facts. Well, they don't have any scientific fact because it cannot be observed, it cannot be repeated, and it can't be demonstrated. It can't be. It is not scientific fact. It is their ideas. It is their theories. But they try to convince us that it is fact. Now, the origin debate is not a matter of fact of science and faith of Christians. That's what the evolutionists would like us to believe. When they have a debate between a creationist and an evolutionist, they will have their slanted journalism and say, you know, there's the scientific fact versus the faith of these Christians. That's not true. That is not true. It is two faiths that are debating. Both are based on faith. It is a choice of where you will place your faith. You will either place your faith in the Bible and in God and believe creationism, or you'll place your faith in the evolutionary ideas of men that reject God. And it's the choice that every one of us must make. But it is a choice. It is a choice of faith. Now, evolution, first of all, I want to take a look at evolution, and we're going to take a look at creation. Evolution is based on faith. Evolution is based on faith. Evolutionists falsely claim that evolution is a fact. You know, children are taught in school today that evolution is a fact that explains the origins of all things. It's sad. But they teach them that every day in school. That is being taught. And it is a lie. That is not scientific. It cannot be observed. It cannot be repeated. It cannot be tested. It is not science. It is a theory. It is an idea. And you know, I emphasize this, and I think most all of you would agree with me this morning, but I emphasize that so you can understand that we don't have to sit back and say, well, you know, maybe they got all the scientific fact, and I'm just believing against all the scientific fact. No, there is no scientific evidence of creation. And we're going to be talking, of evolution. And nearly every secular children's book about origins of the universe, origins of humans, origins of dinosaurs, push the phrase millions of years ago. Millions of years ago. They know that if they say it enough times, that it'll be accepted as a fact. But it is still a lie. It did not happen millions of years ago. There is no evidence of millions of years ago. None at all. There was no millions of years ago. God created everything 6,000 years ago. There is no millions of years ago, as they say. It is only a theory. Now, evolution is a recent theory. In 1859, that's 160 years ago. In 1859, Darwin published his book. Now, listen to the title of his book. Most of you perhaps have never heard the whole title of his book because they don't want to talk about the whole title. They would throw him in the rubbish tomorrow if they talked about the whole title. The whole title of his book says, On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. That is the title that Darwin put on his book. the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life. You know, that sounds exactly like Hitler when he's getting rid of the Jews because they weren't part of the favored races. And a lot of people have those philosophies today. And evolution is promoting that kind of thinking, but that is kind of under the current, underneath. But that is what Darwin called it. Now, it is based on theories, not on scientific fact. When Darwin wrote his book, he wrote that book as he observed variations within a kind. Now, it's important for us to understand this. There are such things as variations within a kind. We all know that. There are bazillions of kinds of dogs. But they're all dogs. And all those dogs can be interbred with each other, and you'll come up with another kind of a dog. But they're all dogs. Those are all variations. Darwin observed finches. They all had different kinds of beaks, and they some of them were big, strong ones, and others were skinny, pointed ones, and he saw, you know, there's changes in these things, and these changes are evolution. But they're still all finches. They didn't change from a finch to a dog. They didn't change from a finch to a deer. They are all finch. And they stayed within their kind. Now, it is true. It is not truly evolution, although evolutionists sometimes call it this. The changes within a kind are not evolution. That's variations. That's not really evolution. Evolution is changing from one kind to another kind, and that is a fairy tale. It never happens. You cannot possibly change a dog into a cat. You cannot possibly change a bird into a fish. It is impossible, genetically impossible to do that. Absolutely impossible. And yet, how do the evolutionists get around that? Well, they try to say that given enough time, the impossible can happen. That's a fairy tale. It doesn't matter how many bazillions of billions of years you have, you will never get a dog to change into a cat. It'll never, ever happen. They've got different DNA. They've got different genes in them. God made them different, unique. They are separate kinds. And that's why you read in the book of Genesis chapter 1 that God made things to reproduce after their kind. After their kind. After their kind. And again he emphasized this. And so they can reproduce after their kind. And probably all the dogs had an ancestor that was a dog way back when God created the dog. But that dog that God created had all of the DNA in it for all of the variations of all the different kinds of dogs that exist today. All in that dog that God created. And every bird that within a kind had all the DNA needed for all the different variations within that kind. But not the ability to change kinds. That's impossible. That is scientifically impossible. It can't happen. Now, by faith, the evolutionists believe that billions of years ago, nothing exploded into everything. And after a long period of time, the rains rained upon the earth and formed water. And on the water developed some slime. And in the slime came a single-celled life. And somehow that one single-celled life found another one that happened to be there, and they just happened to be pink and blue, and they got together, and the next thing you know, there's more slime on the pond. And it starts developing. And everything that we see in our world today developed from the slime on the pond. That takes faith. That takes a lot of faith. That all those things could develop into various creatures, and then those creatures eventually develop into man. And that is their theory. They sometimes say that fossils will prove their evolution. Fossils do not prove evolution. They don't prove evolution at all. Many fossils exist of extinct creatures, but no fossil has been found to indicate a creature that was in the process of changing to another kind. Just last evening I saw that in New Zealand they've just dug up a parrot that was almost a meter tall. Great big huge parrot. Looks like a parrot, but it was a meter tall. Or almost. And of course they say, 30 million years ago this bird roamed upon Earth. They have no clue. There was nothing in those bones that had a date stamped on it 30 million years ago. They are guessing. They are estimating. And they will say they often estimate based on the what they call the geological time scales of the strata in the ground. That's assuming that there is such a thing. But there isn't. Because that strata was all laid during the flood. And there's layer after layer after layer after layer of sediment that was laid quickly. And that's why the evolutionists won't tell you that sometimes there's big creatures down in the bottom where they're not supposed to be. They're supposed to be up here after they developed over millions and millions of years. They won't tell you that. Because that's hard on their theory. But the truth of the matter is that isn't what happened. God made that during the flood. Now, evidence against evolution, there's all kinds of evidence against evolution. One thing to think of, like the oceans. Well, I live near the ocean. The oceans are getting saltier all the time. That is a scientific fact. All the scientists know that. They're getting saltier. And as the oceans get saltier, that means that one day they weren't as salty as they are today. If you go back about 6,000 years ago, or actually about 4,500 years ago when the flood was, you go back to those days and you say, you know, there's just about that much salt in the oceans now. Yeah, well, that makes sense. But if you go back millions and millions of years, the oceans would be so salty that it would be like the Dead Sea or more than that. They would be full of salt if they kept adding salt more and more. Doesn't have that much time involved. Another thing, the moon. The moon is drifting away from the Earth. Scientific fact. They have measured it. And the moon's getting a little bit further away from the Earth all the time. But that means it used to be closer to the Earth. If you brought it back to the Earth that on that same ratio, 6,000 years, it would be still out there being a nice moon for us. But you bring that moon back millions of years, that moon would be sitting right on top of us and we'd have big trouble. All right? Because the moon causes the tidal waves. You know, the tides go up and down. It can't be possible that it's millions of years. Only a few thousand years, as God said. No evolution is observable today. Mutations are changes within a kind. Now, a mutation is when there's something freak that happens. When I was a boy on the farm, we had a calf born on the farm that had five legs. Had another second leg hanging out of the front of the front of the front legs. And it was a freak. How did that happen? Well, something got messed up in his genes. It was a mutation. Mutations always lose information. They never add information. That is critical. Mutations do happen. They are changes. They take fruit flies and they can mutate those fruit flies into all kinds of different weird things. But they always lose information. They never add information. And it's absolutely essential that you add information if you're going to get another creature. You can't just take away from what you got. That's why when you take away all the things they take away from dogs, you end up with a poodle. You know, I mean, you know, they've taken things away from it and away from it. They've lost in the mutations. Alright? And so, it's important for us to see that. Now, another thing is in 2005, scientists found original soft tissue, including blood vessels, in dinosaur bones. Such DNA could not survive for millions of years. They found that. Scientists found it. They know it's true. 2005, they found that. Dinosaur bones. Another thing is sedimentary layers all over the world and the huge canyons and the layers of coal and oil that have deposited all over the world are indications of a rapid formation, not of something that lays down over millions and millions of years. They tell us the coal deposits came from millions and millions of years in the swamps of they filling in with all the stuff, and it finally piled up and it got thick. And that is rubbish. That is a fairy tale. It can't happen. Those coal deposits were formed rapidly. Before the flood, the world was covered with vegetation. Gigantic vegetation. There was something unique about the former the earth before the flood. And I believe personally that it was the vapor canopy that was around the world made it a greenhouse that enabled things to grow phenomenally well. They have found, even in places in the far north where trees just don't grow, they have found huge trees buried under the ground that are hundreds of feet tall. Gigantic trees. They found big leaves and plants that are three times the size they are today. I believe the earth was covered with vegetation, and when the flood came and the water churned all that and stirred it all up, all those vegetations were piled into sedimentary piles, and then the flood came and piled more dirt on top of them. That's why sometimes those layers of coal can be hundreds of feet thick, but then they taper off on one end and they get real skinny, and then a little bit layer up, there's another layer of it, and there's all kinds of things like that. They can't explain that to a millions of years. Another thing that really gives them trouble is what they call polystrate fossils. Polystrate fossils are when a tree stands up right through the middle of the fossil layers. You're not going to get a tree stand up for millions and millions of years while this dirt piles up and fills up and sediment and coal and all that. It won't happen. That tree would rot off and be gone long ago. But if it happened during a flood and it happened within a few months, yes, then it's reality. And that's exactly what fits the Bible description of the flood, not the evolutionary ideas. Now, evolution provides no objective basis for right and wrong. That is a big one. Why do we have right and wrong? Why do we have ethics and morals? Why do we know what is right and what is wrong to do? If evolution is true, and you're just an accident and just came from the slime on the pond, and it was just one big accident, and all of a sudden you came along, who cares what you do? You do whatever you want to do because you got nobody over you telling what to do. But if God's right and creation's right, then God sets the rules and God said, thou shalt not. And God placed within inside of every one of us the innate understanding that, of what is right and wrong. We know what is right and wrong. We don't always do what's right or wrong, but we know what's right or wrong. I mean, just like lying. Who decided that lying is wrong? Well, it's just part of our being. Don't you tell me something that isn't true. I want you to tell me the truth. We know that's not right. And yet, there's no explanation for that with evolution. But creation makes very good sense. One more evidence, and that is that nothing gets better in life. You buy a car, it doesn't get better, it gets worse. You buy a house, in a few years you're going to have to do some work on it. Maintenance, because it's not getting better. Your own body isn't getting better, it's getting worse. The older you get, the more aches and pains you get, because that's part of the deterioration process. That is true in everything in life. And yet evolution says that things got better and better and better and better and better and better. And accidents and explosions all made better. I've never seen an explosion that made things look better. It always made it look worse. All right. And so this whole idea of evolution, it doesn't make sense. And when they say that, billions of years ago, this nothing exploded into everything, sometimes they say, well, the nothing started with this dinky little dot the size of a full stop on your paper, and everything in the universe was crammed into that little dot. That was a mighty heavy little dot. And it got spinning so fast that all of a sudden it exploded and blew apart. But there's a real problem with that too. Because when something spins so fast, if it spins and spins and spins and spins and until it blows apart, then the things that break off of it will also spin in the same direction. And yet there are some of the planets and some of the stars that spin the other direction. Major problem. And so there's all kinds of things here that are proof and evidence against evolution. Doesn't make sense. Now let's take a look at creation. Creation is based on faith. Men have believed for the last 6,000 years that God created the world. Based on the genealogies of the Bible, all those lists of names, he begat, who begat, and he, all these guys begat, alright? All those things are boring to read, but they're important, and you look through those things and you will find, if you add them all up, that God created everything 6,000 years ago. In six short days. 24-hour days. God created everything. Just like the Bible said. And we believe that by faith, but we have it written down for us in the Bible. Now, no man was there, no man saw it, but 3,500 years ago, Moses wrote it down. And where did Moses get his information? 3,500 years ago, so it was still a long time after creation. Where did he get his information? Well, the Bible says that, you read through the book of Genesis, it's very interesting to take note of this. 10 times in the book of Genesis, you'll find the term, the generations of, the generations of, the generations of. And it seems like that what has happened is Genesis chapter 1, God must have wrote that down and gave it to Adam. And then we find the generations of Adam. In Genesis chapter 2, God, we find that Adam describes creation from what he remembers of the things that took place. And then there's generations of Shem and generations of different ones. And then you get into some of those places and you say, and they start talking about all the dukes and all this stuff. What's that in there for? What's that got to do with anything? All these dukes. Well, that was the generations of Esau. And so they told it from their perspective. I believe there was 10 different authors in the book of Genesis, and Moses then compiled them, first-hand records of information that he compiled and wrote down for us. And God gave him that information and inspired it for us so we might be able to know what happened to creation. Now, back in our text this morning, I haven't touched much on our text this morning. We've talked about external things for the moment. But back in our text, in verse number 3, it says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Through faith. You know, creation is based on faith. We understand these things by faith. It is not a hypothesis, but it's faith in the Bible. It's not faith in a theory. It's not faith in some ideas. It's not faith in Darwin's imaginations. It's faith in the Bible. Faith in what God has written down for us. Now, through faith, we believe that the worlds were framed, or the word framed there has the idea of made fit or equipped. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Nehemiah 9:6 says, thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made the heaven and the heaven of heavens and all the things that are therein. The earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. We see in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, for by him, speaking of Christ, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. See, the scriptures tell us clearly that God made it all. God made it all. But we weren't there. We believe that by faith. And so we're not embarrassed to say that we believe it by faith, but our faith is based on something that makes sense. It's based on something that matches the evidence. Our faith is based on that which we can see around us. For example, creation agrees with what we observe today. You take the most powerful telescope and look out into the skies. And you take the most powerful microscope and look at the tiniest thing that man can observe. And all of them scream loudly of a designer. It was made by design. Today when you see on this video that I'm going to show you, this flagellum, microscopically tiny. And yet it is awesomely designed. It was not some random accident that just exploded. That's rubbish. That is absolute foolishness. It was designed. And we know that to be true, so that supports it. The DNA code system gives evidence that there is a designer and intelligence behind it, and behind life. DNA makes no sense if it came from random chances of accidents. Doesn't make any sense. Now, DNA, some of you may say, what in the world is DNA? Well, DNA is the major structures in us that make you who you are. And they're shaped like a spiral ladder, these DNA things. And I don't understand them all, but all I know is that they're unique for every person. We've got, and God made us with those DNA that it'll made us what we are. Now, in biology, there are distinct kinds of plants and animals, just as the Bible states. There's no problem with that. You know, you look in science, and science says, yes, there's the cow kind, and there's the dog kind, and there's the cat kind, and there's the human kind, and there's the bird kind, and there's, you know, they're each one of their kind. And they can reproduce in their kind. And that's exactly what the Bible says, and that's exactly what our faith is based on, is what God said. DNA in every kind of creature allows amazing variety within that kind. That is absolutely phenomenal. What God has done, to think that all of the different kinds can come within that one creature. You think of the kinds of dogs. You got little tiny dogs and great big dogs, but they're all dogs. And they're all related to the dog family. They are all the dog kind. And that is amazing. That God put within them all those kinds of varieties in their genes and in the DNA of the dog. That is amazing. And it supports what we believe is creation. It gives the evolutionists problems. Recorded history and languages date back not millions of years, but about 6,000 years. You know, you look into any information you can find about the most ancient languages or the most ancient history records. They go back about 5 or 6,000 years. Why not further? Because there wasn't anything. It wasn't millions of years. That's a fairy tale. That's a story. That's a theory. Now, through faith, we believe, as the scripture says in verse 3, that the things seen were made of things that were not made of things that do appear. God made everything from nothing, but He spoke it into existence. God was the designer. He was the creator. He spoke it and it happened. Evolution, on the other hand, they say that nothing exploded and made everything. And they don't know where the nothing came from, but nothing was there and nothing exploded, and when nothing exploded, everything came. And over billions of years of this nothingness that was out there that has exploded, and now it's became something, and it's kind of evolved and evolved and evolved until life has come, and now we're all here. That takes tremendous faith to believe that kind of fairy tale. It is far, far easier to believe what God said, that there was a designer and a creator who is all intelligent and loves us and created us as He said He did. All beliefs about origin are based on faith. Observable evidence in the Bible strongly support creationism. If you lack faith in the creation model of origins, then I challenge you this morning to consider the consequences. What are the consequences? If you reject that God is the creator of all things, there's great chances that you will not have faith in God's promises. And a person who strongly rejects God's creative ability probably doesn't even know Him as their Savior. And they're going to stand before Him as their judge and one day spend eternity in hell. Not a good consequences. It's far better to humble ourselves and say, I believe that God's created everything 6,000 years ago, just like He said He did. Much easier to believe that. And so this morning, we've got to make a choice. And I hope most of you have already made that choice. If you haven't, I hope today you will make that choice to believe that God made everything 6,000 years ago. That is the faith that we have in the Bible and in our God. that makes far more sense than the faith in evolution.